Hello, darlings, and welcome to another episode of Free of Fear, Full of Joy. Today, joining us on another collaborative podcast episode is Julie Elizabeth of Bijou Podcast. Woo! All right. Julie, thank you so much for coming on Free of Fear, Full of Joy. I'm so excited to have you here. And we have met through friends and have become really, really acquainted. And I really enjoy your energy. And I think you're an amazing person to have met. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you. So we've had a couple of really amazing conversations. And one of them is about being single by choice, like at a certain age. So we won't get into that. But I wanted to ask you some questions about that because, like, I have my, you know, I'm married, but, you know, I was single in between my marriages and I never thought I would get married again. You know, it is what it is. But I really wanted to talk to you about your personal journey and being single by choice. And can you share a bit of how you embrace being single in your later life?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here today. I am so excited to know that we have similar podcast goals.
Yes.
And the main idea of our podcast is similar in terms of joy. I think that's amazing. Yeah. And, you know, it's okay to have similar topics since, you know, we go in different ways to get there. So I'm excited to explore how you do it, how I do it, and combine our shows. But today's topic of being single by choice, because I'm not willing to settle, is what it eventually turns out to be, right?
Yeah.
Because I was married long ago, mm-hmm. and I was in my mid-20s, so I thought that it wasn't such a hard thing to just pick someone.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't a good match, and it wasn't a good, healthy situation for me. Mm-hmm. And I found that it was one of those things where if I was going to, since I was happy with the wedding, I made a really great wedding.
Wedding of your dreams.
And that was the best thing about it. But after 2.5 years, I knew that it was the wrong situation for me. So I thought, even if I never find anyone else, at least my soul won't be dying because it was that bad.
Yeah.
And so I didn't make finding a partner my main goal for mm-hmm. a long time. Mm-hmm. I wanted to work on myself, mm-hmm. and it took a lot of years because there was some emotional, I don't want to call it abuse, but the way I took it and my sensitivity, it hurt me. So I was made to think that I wasn't as good as I thought I was. And so I developed this condition of thinking I'm not good enough. And
kind
so
of like a victim mentality a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, I never had body image or worries about myself at a younger age. It just wasn't ever brought up, just a person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he was telling me, you know, psychologically that other people have been lying to you, you're not up to par, you need to do these things.
Oh, how
and
dastardly.
So, for that to be someone I married and for that to supposed to be the person you trust and their opinion to be at the forefront, mm-hmm. it was hard on me. So I decided I would just be single, single by choice. I wanted to just be single.
Right.
And I think it's been a number of years where I've had time to heal, mm-hmm. to grow, you know, read books, talk to friends, connect with people. And where I'm at now, it's a beautiful thing. I go to the mm-hmm. coffee shop. I enjoy my time there. Yeah. I talk to whoever shows up. Yeah. I have a number of friends that just come in and out. And male and female, whoever, it's just people.
Right.
But it being that free and not having to worry about partnering up mm-hmm. has been a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. I know society kind of leans toward
that was my next question.
Coupling up, and it needs to be, you need to be in a relationship to be happy. And I think I'll be in a relationship if I'm happy being in a relationship. That's
pretty
much.
So you just mentioned that.
Yeah.
You just mentioned that, but that is my next question. Like, there's so many societal pressures to couple up, to partner up. And do you face any judgment from friends and family about staying single?
I do. I think part of it is that it's up to me to be okay with that because people don't know your experience. Right. They just see it from the outside. And I know for a long time it was like a race. People saying that I need to, you know, time's running out if you have your life plan. You know, I had this grandiose plan, which I thought was really simple, which was I was going to get married, have four kids, and I'd be done having kids by 30.
Oh, yeah.
So I could look spectacular, all healed up, and, like, I had
my
kids.
30 before
and
30. Yeah. You know, your grandmother tells you to have three kids before 30. Good God.
Yeah. So there has been, like, the, you're racing the clock, like, how old are you, know? Mm-hmm. And you get to a point where you say, I thought that was what I wanted, but I'm not going to force it, right? I did force myself to get married because I felt like time was ticking. I was in my mid-20s.
Everybody else is getting married. So you feel like if you're not getting married, then what are you doing? You know, all my friends were married before we were 25.
Right.
And I was the only one that wasn't, and they considered me immature, but they were also very jealous when I was in Jamaica. And they were, you know, pacing a baby across the floor at 22.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, it's interesting because to this day, I always wanted kids.
Yeah.
And I work with kids for my job, so I'm good with kids. It's not like, you know, I have friends that say, you know, it's not all it's cracked up to be and everything, but it was something I wanted, right? Yeah. So for you to say that it's only one way that you can get to happiness is not true, because I can say, well, I have had a chance to work with children for my career.
Yeah.
And the other things like partnership, maybe those will still happen, you know, because life's not over.
No, absolutely
and,
not.
And, you know, you get to a place where you start to be okay with it, like, either way.
Right. So do you self-care is a really important thing in life for everyone. So how do you ensure that you're meeting your emotional and mental health needs? How do you do that?
Well, I do think it's about balance, trying to make sure you have all the elements in good balance, you know, because too much of anything, even a good thing, can become a bad thing.
Right.
Right. Like working out too much. And I'm sure you've seen people that it's like, they've got some body dysmorphia because I only, you know, usually come in the mornings, and this time I came at night to work out, and they're here too.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, wow, they're really just working out too much. Right. So anything can be bad, but it's a balance of, you know, your food, your exercise, your sleep, your attitude, what kind of inner monologue you have going,
right?
Because you're shaping, as it is within, so it is without, and you're shaping that experience in your mental world. So I really think, you know, the self-care is not giving too much, you know, if you're a giver. I'm a nurturer, you know, but knowing everything has its line.
Right.
Yeah.
So is there something specific, like self-care wise, that you're like, for me, it's a bath. Like, I shut out the world and I sit in the bathtub, music, candles, quiet.
Yeah.
No talking.
Right.
So is there something specific for you that's like, I need this to reset?
It's really about being in the moment.
Okay.
But if I need to change a mood, it's going to be through music.
Okay.
Right? I mean, just
at a venue?
Dancing or? And driving, or dancing in the bathroom from the shower, you know, and just music and dance, it just brings so much joy, changes moods, and it helps you celebrate. It's it's funny because we've been through some hard times the last few years, and everyone I know is going through a deep dive of their soul.
Everybody, but go get therapy after pandemic. You don't realize how much it damaged your psychological world.
Absolutely. Figure out what you need.
Yeah.
But I noticed that I started dancing again. And
oh, good.
It's something that it comes naturally, and I haven't been dancing in the shower, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm happy again. Like, we're getting back to a place where there isn't such a heavy energy holding right. us down, and starting to feel like it will regenerate. And so it's time for new.
Yeah, more boogieing.
Anything you can do.
Right, exactly.
Liven it up.
So what are you looking forward to the most in your coming years? Do you have any like specific goals or anything you're excited about that's coming up?
I think the world is our oyster right now. I think okay. a lot of things are changing. There are a lot of technological changes happening that haven't trickled down to our day-to-day life yet, but will soon right. in the next few years. And being prepared for that and those type of changes, how to go with the market and to mm-hmm. know if you want to be entrepreneurial in any kind of way, then mm-hmm. you know that AI is part of the new future,
it
right?
sure is.
And with that are a lot of possibilities, you know, opportunities and ways for our society to grow, hopefully in positive ways. I don't think it's about leaning back and saying, let them do it all, let them it do it for us.
Yeah.
I think it's about working with it and having partnership and saying these types of things will save time, or right. this is something I don't know how to do. I don't right. know how to write a business plan, but I still want to make something yeah. positive for society.
Right.
right. So I think there are so many things left to do. I have a whole rainbow of goals.
Okay.
I made all these goals on different color cards and just thought of different ways that I could expand. And I'm like, I will do everything on that. When I wake up in the morning, the rainbow's on that wall.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I'm going to work on as many of those as I can each day.
Beautiful.
But it's like, you know, starting a couple brick and mortar businesses, uh-huh. doing online businesses, consulting with education,
yeah.
you know, my Etsy crafts and my amazing sewing machine and the ideas that, you know, it's like mm-hmm. there are things that you don't make time for,
mm-hmm.
but it's like it's time to try a lot of new things and
yeah.
see where it goes.
Well, wow, that's exciting. That's a lot of things you're doing. So, and such a wide variety of things. So that's really, really exciting. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and ask you, what advice would you give someone who's struggling to embrace, or just struggling learning to embrace and thrive in being single?
I would say number one has to be to love yourself. If you don't love
Amen.
Yourself, you really have no business getting tangled up in a relationship. I know when I first was single from being married, I went on like a bunch of first dates.
Just I call it the monkey bar.
Right.
You go from the marriage to the next person
right.
and you try to hang on to them so tight so you don't fall.
That's right. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna find the new best thing
yep.
or I'm just going to put myself out there. I never really did dating. I always was like relationship girl to, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me just try. I'm going to see what's out there and I'm going to date. And it came up a number of times that I would meet this fabulous man and he would say, you're not really ready to be dating. And so it let me know I have some inner work to do.
Yeah.
So I think number one is to find your own balance, to have self-love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of things with insecurity can make mm-hmm. a messy relationship.
True.
Jealousy and all kinds, you know, for people
Those
to build trust, they have to be ready for
right.
the relationship.
You have to do the work. And, you know, I find it very interesting that, you know, you see all these like shadow journals and, you know, people, you know, if you aren't comfortable going to a therapist and sitting down across from someone and expressing yourself and letting someone take a deep dive into your brain and being honest to that person, then these journals and stuff that help people work through their issues are amazing, because you cannot move forward. You can't reach any of your true goals if you don't have an inner love. There is going to be some kind of blowback as you move towards your goal if you don't have an inner peace and an inner love. It's
yeah.
going to karmically come back on you.
And for me, it's having a voice too, and being right. able to use that voice in real time, because something I used to do as a pleaser is always have like the right words to say after the moment had passed, and to just be so worried about what I might say or shouldn't say and all of that. But to be in the moment now and to be able to say, so what you're saying is this, or, you know, to have that, that inner growth where you say, okay, my soul needs X, Y, Z. And I can tell from these actions that you're not there. And being able to say your needs, express them, and connect with someone who also is in that headspace, I think that's key. I think people want to have healthy relationships nowadays.
I think that a lot of people think they're in healthy relationships, but they I will say that I was one of those people, you know, because I didn't realize I was a pleaser. I was exactly like that. I would think about, I would say something and then later on be like, I should have said this. And don't get me wrong, like, life is always about continuing to work on it. Occasionally I have moments like that also where I'm like, oh, I should have said this, but I'm not upset with what I did say. You know, of course I can always come up with something wittier to say, wittier to say, but in the, I am completely satisfied with what I said in the moment, instead of like after speaking to that person, not making myself clear and then toiling about it for days after, which is something I had, I thought I was okay with, or thought I was, you know, simple in my communication or very clear, but I was not, you know. And that is, and I probably haven't said this to you before, but I bring it up very often. I am a huge fan of The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And the very first rule is, be impeccable in your communication. And that is what changed my life. You know, that first rule, being impeccable in your communication, what goes on to, you know, don't take things personal, don't make things assumptions, and even don't make any assumptions. But if you continue to do those three things, and the fourth one is always do your best, then you're constantly being impeccable in your communication, constantly being not taking things personal and not making any assumptions, and always doing your best. So that was game changing for me in having a clear communication with people and not having that angst and that remorse about what my interaction was with someone that made me feel some kind of way.
Yes.
Yeah, you know. So,
How much time do we have? Do we have time for me to say something I was thinking of while we were talking?
Sure. I think we've got a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Let's go.
I want to just say, like, for the record, since this is like being recorded and everything, it's like, I love men. Like,
me too, girl.
I'm not saying like the problem is that men are a problem. Like, I think there are quality men and there are quality women, and it's about finding the right matchup, you know, and not throwing the fish back really fast. Like, take the time to see if whatever you think their faults are, if they're manageable, because sometimes I think we get a little too picky in the swipe society and just, you know, it's like,
I don't know anything about that.
I find myself like, I finally have a crush on someone and I just am tongue-tied every time I talk to them. And I'm thinking,
that's so cute,
I wonder if there's a way anyway. I wonder if that doesn't stop it. Like, what if it could happen anyway?
Yeah, you know? I wouldn't give up. You know, crushes happen all the time. Sometimes they don't come together as, you know, in the moment, but they, you know, for whatever reason, they're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm with you. I am not a man basher. I love them.
Yeah.
I think they're fantastic when they want to be. when they want to be.
I mean, but there are genuinely good guys that
there are.
We're in a changing society, and a lot of times roles are being reversed, or men are feeling pushed out of their role.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think anyone really has to have a role anymore. It's just more about partnership and, you know, finding it. I know that things aren't equal in certain senses, right? Mm-hmm. There may be someone who toes the line more in one area.
Right.
But if you can communicate about that, then it could be okay, because you say, well, you pick up more here, I'll pick up more there, in terms of the dynamics of what you do when you are with someone.
Right. And in conclusion, I will just say about being single by choice. And I can't really speak to it because I'm not single, but I do remember what it was like. And I do know that if you open your mind up to different roles, whatever works, and if you communicate with your partner and you work with them, you can find a way, like just to conclude what you were saying. But being single by choice is definitely something that is empowering. You know, it's definitely something that, you know, a lot of people understand and are very pleased with. And I would think that some of us that are in relationships maybe envy you a little bit for your autonomy and your decision making without having to consult with someone else.
Certainly.
You know, that is a power that is unmatched. So I'm so happy for you and the direction that you're going. I'm very, very excited about that. So at the end of the show, Julie, we say free of fear, full of joy 3 times. Will you say it with me?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Free of fear,
full of joy.
Free of fear,
full of joy.
Free of fear,
full of joy. Bye, darlings. Thank you.
Bye.
See you next time. Bye.